Listen. Do you hear a wind? Well, a couple of weeks ago, you probably would have. It seemed to be windy each and every day. And in fact, the weather service has told us that the frequency of the strong and damaging winds, even tornadoes that have been touching down in our area, far exceeds previous averages. There is something about wind that is significant to us. I once spent a little time out in Wyoming while I was doing my graduate study. It was sort of a working vacation. And I was told there that people get a little nervous about the wind. Because if you're out in the high plains in the west, the wind is constant. It is constantly blowing. And there's something about that that actually makes people very upset. And in fact, believe it or not, they were telling me that the rate of suicide is very high because of the wind. So powerful is it? Hard to believe until you've experienced it. Until you're constantly in the wind. Just a few weeks ago, as we had constant wind, and I was trying to do things outside, and all the pollen and all of the things started to make me very frustrated. I remembered that telling back in Wyoming, because I was getting pretty upset. Now, I wasn't quite driven to the point where I might take my own life, but I could see how someone could. If this was your constant experience. We are overwhelmed by that kind of experience. In fact, what it amounts to is a constant sensory bombardment. Our senses are always being touched when the movement of the air is constant. And in fact, sometimes even when it strengthens, it gets even worse. And so it's interesting that one of the primary images in Holy Scripture is wind. In fact, in the very earliest verses of Scripture in the book of Genesis, we hear how the Spirit of God, and the word Spirit in that ancient language, Hebrew, is pretty much the same word that we use for wind or breath, movement of air, that the Spirit of God hovered and moved over the waters. And so we have this picture of this chaotic, dark sea and this wind constantly blowing on it. And that's what the world was like before God brought order to it. And that's what we hear a little bit about in today's first lesson. How the order that God created in the universe is somehow disrupted by us. And that we ourselves wanted somehow to take what we have been given and make it our own so that we would have control over it. And so it's no wonder, really, that God uses this notion of wind constantly to remind us that we are never fully in control. Jesus uses this same image when he talks to Nicodemus in the early chapters of the Gospel of John, when he says, the Spirit is like the wind, it goes where it wills, whence it comes, we do not know. That was a foreshadowing, perhaps, of what we celebrate today. That in fact, as we celebrate the coming of the Spirit, in the story we hear from the Acts of the Apostles, it is the sound of a great rushing wind. More than likely, there wasn't a wind at all. There wasn't any actual movement of air, because otherwise, everyone else would have been aware of this tornado, as it were, this hurricane, suddenly there. But there's no mention of it anywhere else. The only mention of it is by the people in that upper room, locked away for fear. They hear this wind, and all of a sudden, their senses are filled so completely that they feel like they are on fire. They are on fire. And so they dash out of the locked doors and they run out into the streets and they start talking about this person named Jesus and everything that Jesus had done. And that's not enough. They were talking in their own language, in the language of their birth, but everyone else heard them in their own respective language. Now that's an interesting parallel to this story that we have at the beginning of our scriptures in the book of Genesis. How at one point all humanity spoke one language, and until this story of the Tower of Babel, we understood then how we got to be so many different languages. Whether it's actually the fact or not is irrelevant. The point is that at the very beginning, God intended us to be one family, one human family, and it was in our own selfishness, rather, that we decided that we could not do that. We had to be separate. We had to be tribes and languages and nations and put borders up and do all this kind of thing. That this notion of one humanity throughout the world, it was too much for us. It was like that wind. It was a constant bombardment, and we decided we would take control. And since we can't control the whole universe, we ended up controlling only little pieces of it. And that's when the trouble started. Because if your piece wasn't big enough, you started to take someone else's. And then you acquired it more and more until you had a great empire. And you subjugated peoples of other cultures and of other languages. And you imposed your language on them. And so it has been throughout all of human history. The one exception to that is this moment of Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit comes down upon those first disciples with great power, and the message is clearly sent to them that there are no divisions in the people of God, that all of the divisions of the world have no meaning to God. Neither national boundaries or language groups or tribal identities, political affiliations, none of it works for God. That there is only one people of God, and they are the ones who now enjoy the gift of the Spirit. And as long as they follow, as long as they accept that gift, they will grow, and they will begin to understand the purpose of God in the world. They will begin to build the kingdom of God that Jesus came to proclaim. Not an earthly kingdom, not a kingdom of political persuasions, but rather a kingdom of the heart. For it is there that the Holy Spirit does its work. It is there within the human heart that the Holy Spirit can change and transform us. It is there that the Holy Spirit of God is able to help us put away our predilection to create boundaries and territories and kingdoms and tribes and parties. So that as we seek the very truth that is the truth of Jesus, we would be able to proclaim with one voice, in one language, understood by all, that Jesus is Lord. Peter, now the titular head of all of the disciples, the rock, Jesus calls him, he's the first to go out. And he goes out and he proclaims to all of the people what's going on, and they all laugh at him. They say, "You're drunk." Peter says, "Well, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. How can we be drunk?" Of course, we all know that that's perfectly possible. And so he basically says to the people there, "Well, go ahead. That thing, if that's what you think, go ahead and believe that. But I have something to tell you. And if you listen to what I have to say, that new wine you think we've been drinking, imbibing, well, that will come upon you too. And your hearts will be changed and transformed. And the fear which we had as we were locked up in that upper room, your fears will disappear. Because really, that's the thing that makes us divide our human family. Fear. When we are afraid of others, we batten down the hatches, as it were. We lock the doors. We put up barriers. When we are afraid, we want our security maintained. And so we go to extraordinary lengths to make sure that we are safe. But the reality is, we are never truly safe until our hearts rest in God. And it is then that the Holy Spirit comes upon us and takes away our fear. Takes away our fear so that we don't spend our time and energy and resources dividing ourselves. But rather, we strive to create unity among those who would follow Christ. It's a sad tale for us who follow Christ that we have so many divisions in what we call the body, the church. There's Catholic and Episcopalian, there's Methodist and Baptist, there's fundamentalists and liberals and conservatives. Again, all of the labels, all of the divisions that are part of the world's way of looking at things, somehow we have acquired them for ourselves. Maybe the power of Pentecost is to help us once again do away with those divisions. Not to say that you must believe and act the way I believe and act, but all you need to do is hear the truth about Christ and follow this same Christ as we follow. And regardless of how or who or what you are or how you act or how you live, then in fact, you are part of God's family. You are God's children. And if you are God's children, you are heirs together with Him who gave His life for us. The key to all of this is love. Jesus again tells His disciples in today's gospel lesson, again a part of that Last Supper talk that He had with His disciples, that love is the core. And in another place, it says that love casts out all fear. So it makes sense then that if we truly seek the Spirit of God in our lives, we will become more than anything a people of love, of self-giving, of self-effacing, of not looking out for ourselves, not wanting to be in control of others, but rather allowing others to flourish because of the gifts that God has given to each and every one of us. We hope that we are an inclusive church, and that mandate, that mission comes to us right from the gospel. And so it is that we hope that we can invite all who believe in Jesus to stand with us and to worship, no matter where or how they wish to do it, but to realize that we are really all one, that we are one in Christ, and being one in Christ, we too are the heirs to God's kingdom.